Blog Talk Radio.
Arms.
All right, shalom, shalom. Shalom, Israel. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. There we go. Now we up and running. Blessings to you all, Israel, Yah's chosen people. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So, saints, unfortunately, we may not have the chat up and running tonight. So those of you who are listening by phone or even online by way of Blog Talk Radio, then you'll just listen in. We may not be able to do the chat. I can't pull it up here from where I am. And so we'll just roll like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But let me know. Well, I already got my sound check. It's coming through good. If any of you out there have my cell number and you have any issues hearing the broadcast, whether it's on any type of distortion or some type of drop-off or something like that, just send me a text message and let me know so that I can see what's going on. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. Glory to the King. Bless you all, Israel. This is Elder Donnie, and I'll be your host this evening on this edition of the Brother Segment, brought to you by way of Straightway Truth on Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. So once again, it is an honor, it is a privilege to be here with you this evening, saints, and hallelujah, we're going to get started. Glory to the King. In the name of the Most High Yah, hallelujah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, hallelujah, to whom all praise is due, whom we will forever thank for sending us Yeshua, the Messiah, who atoned for our sins, hallelujah. And if it had not been for the Messiah, hallelujah, none of us would be here today, hallelujah. So we give all praise and honor and glory for that, hallelujah, because without him, we can do nothing, hallelujah. We also want to give honor where honor is due to our beloved shepherd, Pastor Charles Dowell, and who is our leader, our teacher, and our guide in this time that we're in. Also to Pastor Corey, hallelujah, a gift sent to us from the Most High, and we give thanks for him and his labors and all that he do for us, hallelujah, in loving Yah's sheep. So we give them great men who before us are gifts of Yah, praise and glory, and also all leaders in Israel. All elders, all teachers, deacons, and head of assemblies, just all those who have the rule over you. And all my brothers and my sisters out there, blessings to you all. We can't do this thing alone. We need each other. And I'm so grateful to have all of y'all, hallelujah, for support, for strength, and encouragement, and just to know that, hey, I'm not in this thing alone. So bless you, each and every last one of you all, Israel. And we're going to go ahead and get started here. Pray that y'all are doing well on this day. I kind of forgot what this day was. Not that it's any importance to me or you all, but we do need to be mindful of the time that we're in. One of the most wickedest days, I should say, of the year, when these heathen, and they love it too. I heard this one guy, I used to do business with him back in the day, and he taught me a lot. It was crazy because when I came into the truth, he also ventured off into what he was doing, and he began to start his business with all of this horror and sinister type of material that he would print on T-shirts and other paraphernalia. And then I tell you, his business blew up. It blew up tremendously. And at the same time, I was coming into the faith, so it was kind of like we did a divide, and one way and the other went the other. And I tell you, we had nothing in common after that. Nothing whatsoever. And I thought this guy was one of the, most genuine, meek, kind persons you ever want to meet. I never knew what he was up to, never knew what he had, what he was, where his passion and desire and where his heart was. And I read a post of his recently, and he ended it. He was just telling all the people about, the shop was down because of the hurricane and stuff down there in Louisiana. And then he ended it by saying, stay evil. Continue to be evil, something like that, something to that tune. And he also mentioned, I read this some years ago, that Halloween is a villain's Christmas. So it's a big deal for them on this wicked-ass day. So it's a day for us to be very mindful of what's going on and continue to pray, continue to press in, continue to return curses, all types of things, breaking all bands and bonds, and just be on guard spiritually from the attacks of the enemy. And I know it's been quite a bit of distractions going on today here And even in the midst of that, I still forgot about it. I was praying, but forgot, you know, what this day was. But anyway, we're not going to let that stop us or deter us from doing what we need to be doing. It just shows that we need to be more focused or more diligent in our efforts and in our servitude unto our most holy Father. Because as we see these heathen, these Satanists, and these wicked-ass people, they don't let up. And in some cases, they may be even more devout and more serious than we are in what their beliefs are and what they're doing and who they serve. It's clear to them. And it needs to be clear to us as well who we serve. And some of that is what we're going to be talking about today and, you know, making that clear distinction. Because we can get caught up in this life and caught up in the things of this life. But we got to remember that we're not like them at all. Matter of fact, Yah said that he wanted to sever us from them. He wanted us to be separate from them, be holy, and set apart in every way. And the reason we have the different guidelines and instructions that we have is because of that, is we wanted to mingle with the other nations. And he knew this, knew where their hearts were, even coming out of Egypt, right? He had to let them know, you know. And he never wanted them to forget this either, by him bringing them out with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. He always wanted Israel to remember this. And so much so that we should tell our children, and then their children, and their children should know this, how that the Most High freed them, his people, from the hand of Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And he heard their cry. And we see a lot of similarities today, what's going on with us, and how we're coming up out of this modern-day Egypt, this modern-day bondage. And as our shepherd would say, one of the most, how do you say it? Because this slavery afforded us a lot of amenities and a lot of pleasures. And we don't even realize that we're in bondage. But we see it, you know, spiritually we can see it, how difficult it is to break certain things, how it is that we can't change, how it is that we aren't able to die out to the flesh and give up the things of this life. How is it that we can't hear the word? Why is it that we can't perform? It's still a tie, a connection, an attachment to this world, to this life. Hallelujah. So hopefully what I'm going to talk about today, give a little bit of insight into what's possibly something going on with us. It may be something that can be dealt with spiritually. And we break these bonds, breaking these curses, and changing our repent, of course, and then changing our mind, number one, because with our mind, right, we serve Yah. And so hopefully it'd be of help in some way, some shape or form, something that is said. I have a lot of notes here. I'm going to go through however I'm led, you know what I mean? Because some of it, you know, I don't want to be boring. And a lot of it is just worldly. Some of it is just statistics and scientific stuff. But the base of it is rooted in the word, I believe. So with that, go ahead and get started. And let's see. There we go. All right. How we doing out there, Israel? Blessings to you all. And I just want to say this to you all who are joined here. I can't see necessarily who is in the chat room, but I thank you all for joining me this evening, because you could have been anywhere in the world. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to be here, and it's good, hallelujah, that you are here. One of the things that I do know is that on a day-to-day basis, if we don't surround ourselves with the word, if we don't surround ourselves with any of the teachings or any of the things that are, that come forth from this ministry, and it's so important for us to do so, because it's to edify us, it's to strengthen us, it's to get our minds and our hearts focused and to be on the right path. Because if we don't have that, you know, by default, we will turn to our own selfish desires. We'll be caught up and wrapped up in the cares of this life, all of the wickedness that's around us. It'll overtake us. We'll forget, quickly forget, you know, what we're doing on this journey. We forget so quickly. And I think, you know what, the Father knew that. And as I was reading, getting ready for this, I was reading in Deuteronomy, you know, around chapter 8 is where I was really reading. But I read a little bit before. So around chapter 5, 6, and 7, it was like a reoccurring theme that the Most High kept telling Israel. Don't forget, you know, when your bellies are full, when you go into the land, when you possess all of these things that I'm going to give you and you're going to inherit these things, don't forget me. You know what I mean? It's so easy to forget. Even us in this day and hour here, we see other verses in the book that tells us to that, you know, the Father will stir us up, our minds, you know, by way of remembrance or how we forgot something so quickly, because we will forget. And that's the same thing. And he had to remind Israel, you know, don't forget me. Don't forget why you're here, you know, what I've done for you. This is because of a covenant that I made with your forefathers, not necessarily because of you, but you walking into this inheritance. And so don't you forget when your bellies are full. And see, don't think like when I pray and I say that, I don't say that just so it could be sound good or some type of cliche. No, there's some seriousness behind that. Because even when we get into this a little bit, I'll go over that verse where King David even said it. You know, I don't want to have too much. I don't want to have too little where I deny you, but I don't want to have too much. But give me what is sufficient for me. And in terms of food, in terms of anything, really and truly, because we have a lot of stuff, saints. We have a lot that's been given to us. And, you know, a lot of times when I pray, I say, you know what, thank you, Father, for blessing me with not only many things that we need, but also the extras. Because a lot, to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff we have, we don't need it to survive. We really don't. They are just extras. These are things that's been afforded to us. And, you know, we need not make gods out of those things. But realizing, you know, who's the true creator and the maker and our strength and our comfort and who we truly should rely on. That's who we should be thanking. That's who we give all the praise and honor and glory to, for those things and not the things themselves. Hallelujah. So we don't want to get caught up in any of that idolatry or any such thing like that. But as I was saying, it was a common theme to have the children of Israel to remember. Don't forget. All right. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start here because I usually start off in Psalms, and I'm not going to deviate away from that. In Psalms 119, 111, and Psalms 119, man, if you have a down and out, you put that on. I listen to a lot of audio stuff, audio Bible, a lot of teachings and stuff while I'm driving, going to and fro at work. And I'll tell you, Psalms 119 is very, very uplifting and inspiring. But I'm going to start here at 111. It says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform your statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but your law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my Yah. Uphold me according unto your word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto your statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Hallelujah. Without Yahweh, saints, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Just reiterating that. I'm going to go ahead and read that from John 15. Let me go there. Give me a second. John 15, start at verse 1 through 5. Yeshua here speaking. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. So just want to reiterate that point, as I was mentioning earlier. We can do nothing, hallelujah, outside of the Father. And we got to do it through Yeshua, because he said, I am the, he's the vine. Hallelujah. And so we got to be a part of that vine. You know, as I mentioned, though, I got a little bit ahead of myself, but it's just true. You know, if we left to our own devices, what are we going to do? And we've shown that throughout history, our people, just by default, our ways, man, just that sinful nature, that fallen nature, it's going to turn to that which is evil, that which is not good. But one of the words I used earlier when I started, I said beneficent. And I had to look the word up, beneficent, and it actually, in its essence, it does talk about the Father and who he is, his essence, and about him being generous, a generous person having consideration for others. I'm going to read some words that are related to that word, beneficent, and it says compassionate, good-hearted, kind, tender, attentive, considerate, and thoughtful. So we just think about that. You think about the Father and how merciful he's been to us, especially to our people. You know, how he forgave them and how he gave them another chance, another shot after chance after chance. And even now here we are today having another chance, having another shot. He was so mindful of us that he left us his Holy Spirit, right, which is to lead us and guide us into all truth. You know, not is it enough just for the Messiah to come and to do what he did, to redeem us, to save us, not only from our enemies, but that salvation was also just setting us free, you know, from the enemy and then also ourselves, you know what I mean, just freeing us. But we thank him for that, and we can't do nothing without him, absolutely nothing without him. So that's very important for us to remember, you know, in this day and time and hour, who we are and whose we are. Hallelujah. Moving along in Deuteronomy, let's see. Let's see where I want to start at. I'm going to be in Deuteronomy 8. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start it. Deuteronomy 8 and 11, verse 11. All right. I'm going to read down to 18. Glory to the King. I pray this is still coming through good, the sound, saints, and all is well. But it says, beware that thou forget not the Master, Yahweh, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten, and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Master, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and dross, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, and that he might prove you to do you good at your latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember Yahweh your El, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto your fathers, as it is this day. Hallelujah. So it's Yahweh that gives us might. It's Yahweh that gives us power. It's him. And that's why I was saying what I said earlier, because it's so easy for us to forget, right? You know, we're going about life, doing the things we need to do. And when we make that declaration, or we get up out of you know, our beds and we go, just as Shepherd mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and we don't take the time to acknowledge Yah, we don't take the time to spend time with him, to pray unto him, then we're essentially saying, you know what, I don't need you, Yah. I got this. I can do this. And we may not physically say it with our mouths, but our actions prove that. And then we can see that carry on throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the months. And this is just a reoccurring thing. We're doing the exact thing that he told us not to. And then and we think we got the power. We think we can get any help from him. We think we can, you know, no. We're not even connected. We're not even close to him. We're doing things on our own. We have a chance every day, right, to make a decision whether or not we're going to live with Yah or independently of Yah. And more often than not, we probably take that road of independence and not being close to Yah, not conforming unto his ways and doing our own thing. Very haughty, very heady, very high-minded. And that's the same ways of this world, the same ways of the people of this world. What I'm going to read and what I'm going to, you know, talk about, and it's probably going to be brief here, but what I'm going to talk about is pretty much this, and I'm coming from this thought because it came to my mind, and you know, just meditating on it a little bit, and it took me some time to find where it came from. But anyway, it was from the Day of Atonement message by Pastor Dahl, and it was from 2015. And, you know, as he began the message, he began to say, you know, after doing a lot of fasting, that it helps to be more sober and attentive to the set-apart spirit. And then also it helps to be in tune with Yah, which is true. And the question was posed, and I'm going to ask the same question, and I'm going to start off like this. Can it be possible that the chemicals that are in foods today are there to desensitize us in our spirits from actually being discerning to the Father? Are they there just to, you know, kill that hunger, kill that thirst, kill that desire and passion to want to serve Yah? Is it there to cause confusion or to numb our minds? It's clear that they're working diligently. And as we can see now, things that were said years ago by our shepherd, we see it coming to pass now. It could be that they are vaccinating us through the foods that we eat. If we think about all of the chemicals and things that are in the food, we think about all of these different additives and sugars, all of these things that corrupt our mind, right? And they corrupt our body. For the sake of who knows, they don't have any decent explanation as to why they're there. Some people could say, well, preservatives and to preserve the food, but you got all of these different dyes and colors and all of these things, right? Can it be that we are being poisoned through the food and food is being used as a weapon? And can it be for us, Israel, that these things are desensitizing us, keeping us further and further away from the Father, causing us not to want to draw nigh unto him, causing us to be lazy, causing us to be slack, causing us to be slow, lethargic, and just not have a care or a desire? Something to think about. Romans 7:25 says, thanks to Yah through the Messiah, our master, so then with the mind I myself truly serve the Torah of Yah, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And we notice many of us do that is common knowledge out there that, you know, the things that we do put in our mouths, they do affect, they go into our bellies, and ultimately that affects our minds. It's clear that. But you know what? A lot of emphasis in this world, a lot of emphasis in this life is centered around pleasing and giving pleasure, and especially when it comes to eating and food and our bellies. You know, I was looking at something on YouTube, and a commercial came up. It was an Uber Eats commercial, and in that commercial, it was an ex-football player, and he was on there, and he was, you know, I guess he was giving, they were giving him options of, you know, where he can order food from. I guess with Uber Eats, you can order from all these different places and have it delivered to you. And so, you know, he had so many options and so many things, and he was, you know, it was like he was in this utopia, and he was just thinking about all the different things that he can have, all the different delicacies. And then at the end, he was like, you know what, I'm not going to share what I'm going to be eating, because that's private, that's personal. You see how they're doing? Making this at the forefront, at the top of their list, eating, their bellies. And then at the end, he said this. He said, I'm not going to share with you what I'm going to eat, because this is personal, this is private. This is between me and my belly. And I was like, wow, look at that. Isn't that something? Like that just threw me for a loop right there. And I was like, man, they are really promoting this. They really are. And a lot is centered around eating restaurants, and eating out is at all-time high, right? Having food seasoned a certain way, and you know, people are literally addicted to the foods. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Hallelujah. And that's not our lot, Israel. We should not be minding earthly things. Hallelujah. Our strength, our hope, our desire, our comfort. Let me say that. Our comfort is in Yah. It's not in the things of this world. We look to the hills for what's coming our help. Our help comes from Yah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read to you a few different things here, right? Some different things as pertain to eating and different habits, all right? Give me a second here because I'm switching back and forth through notes here. So one of the things that I know people deal with is emotional eating. And I know this is true for truck drivers out there on the road, sometimes alone. And what more convenience is it to just grab something to eat, you know what I mean, and to, you know, just for that good feeling. And we're going to go into why, too, some of the things that goes on with some of these chemicals that are in these foods, in particular sugar, right, because they put sugar in so many different things, right? And we're going to look at the different effects of it. But anyway, emotional eating. I'm going to read this to you because this is a little bit here I got. It says, "We don't always eat just to satisfy physical hunger. Many of us also turn to food for comfort, stress relief, or to reward ourselves. And when we do, we tend to reach for junk food, sweets, and other comforting but unhealthy foods. You might reach for a pint of ice cream when you're feeling down, pizza if you're bored or lonely, or swing by the drive-thru after a stressful day at work." So can anybody relate to that? Just being honest, right? Emotional eating is using food to make yourself feel better, to fill emotional needs rather than your stomach. Unfortunately, emotional eating doesn't fix emotional problems. In fact, it usually makes you feel worse afterward. Not only does the original emotional issue remain, but you also feel guilty for overeating. Isn't that the truth, right? A couple questions here. Are you an emotional eater? Do you eat more when you're feeling stressed? Do you eat when you're not hungry or when you're full? Do you eat to feel better, to calm and soothe yourself when you're sad, mad, bored, anxious, etc.? Do you reward yourself with food? Do you regularly eat until you stuffed yourself? So you've stuffed yourself. Does food make you feel safe? Do you like food as a friend? Do you feel powerless or out of control around food? Occasionally, using food as a pick-me-up, a reward, or a celebration isn't necessarily a bad thing. But when eating is your primary emotional coping mechanism, when your first impulse is to open the refrigerator whenever you're stressed, upset, angry, lonely, exhausted, or bored, you get stuck in an unhealthy cycle where the real feeling or problem is never addressed. And that's true. So in thinking about all of those things, you know, if we answer to any of those yes, then we got to really seriously take a good look at ourselves, right? Who is our Yah? You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, who are we yielding our members to? Who are we serving? Who are we looking to comfort us, to heal us, to console us? Who are we looking for to? And in doing that, if it's food, if it's the things that, you know, we can consume and put in our mouths and put in our bellies, then that's become our God, right? Truthfully speaking. Let me read something to you here from a more excellent way. Let me see if I have it bookmarked here. And this here is on the lines of addiction. And it says, remember, one can be addicted to almost anything, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, shopping, or anything to distract us from the feelings of being unloved. Each person is created to know and to receive Yah's perfect love. When people have not received true, unconditional love as a foundation, they are always in search of getting a need fulfilled. The need to know Yah's love can open us up to look for love in all the wrong places. This need leaves us vulnerable to the deception of Satan, who seduces us into believing the world offers us a better substitute. You are saying through your actions that Yah is not able to meet your needs. Your heart says, Yah, I need a fix that you cannot supply. I will get it myself. Our comfort must be in Yah, not in people, places, or things. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what? And it said in there that I need a fix that you cannot supply. And ultimately, that's what we're saying, right? Ultimately, if we resort to these tactics, resort to food, and that to be our comfort, then we're saying, Yah, I don't need you. I got this. This is what I need. Not knowing that the same problem, same issue is going to continue. We're not being set free of anything. We're not purging ourselves in any way. If anything, you're feeding it and giving into it more, and you have more, it's more of a stronghold on you. Let's see what this was. This was, I guess while I'm here, I'm going to go into the next thing that I was talking about. Let's say sugar. And see how bad of a drug this thing here is and how addictive it is. And many of you may notice, just reiterating this stuff and keeping your minds in tune with this stuff. Let's see. So it says here, despite this evolutionary propensity towards a sweet tooth, humans did not develop an obsession for the taste of white sugar until the American continent established the sugar industry via slave trade in the Caribbean. In 1537, the first sugar refinery was established in Germany, primarily for sugar cane. Up until the middle of the 18th century, sugar was considered a luxury and commonly referred to as the white gold. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Saints. By the 1700s, the average person consumed 4 pounds of sugars annually. By the 1800s, about 18 pounds. And then in the 1900s, it spiked to 90 pounds. Now, listen to this. By the year 2009, Americans were gorging themselves on 170 pounds of sugar annually. That's nearly a half a pound of sugar daily. Now, that's quite a bit. Now, that was in 2009. Now, what would you think it would be like now, 2021? Even worse, right? And so we consume a lot of the stuff, you know, and not even really knowing it. You know, when we have different gatherings and stuff, we drink, we eat a lot of delicacies, if I could use that and say that, that we wouldn't normally eat. A lot of these things, right? And we don't even realize the effect of these things and what they do to the body. Let me go to another one here. And listen to this, and this is the effect of what it does, sugar does. It can even be called a drug. It says, although sugar is viewed as a food, it is technically a drug because it produces a psychological effect on the body. Once ingested, this is especially the cause for HFCS. Like most drugs and toxins, HFCS can only be metabolized in the liver. When the liver metabolizes fructose, a cascade of negative effects go into play. A byproduct called uric acid is produced, which can cause gout and hypertension. The liver becomes insulin resistant. And ultimately, all of these factors can lead to cirrhosis of the liver. It says, oddly enough, fructose is capable of creating the same illness as alcoholism. It can manipulate the same opioid pathways in the brain as heroin or morphine, which leads to the addictive behavior. Studies have shown that sugar can be up to 8 times more addictive than cocaine. All of the markers for addictions to illicit drugs resemble the behaviors of sugar addiction. Psychologically, the ingestion of sugar leads to the release of opioids and dopamine, which produces the intoxicating sensation that ultimately carries the addiction. So you got all these different things that they do the same thing as these drugs, these illegal drugs, and you have these same reactions as your body and your mind. They go through the same things. They say many studies have demonstrated that sugar simulates the brain's pleasure and reward centers. These areas are located in the emotional centers of the brain. The dopamine release produces the feel-good vibe, and the opioids release produce the stoner-like sensation. So that's where you get it from. That's why you get that sensation. And a lot of times not even knowing it, right? These same effects can be seen with nicotine, heroin, and alcohol. The consumption of sugar also produces cravings in its absence. So you're going to crave it. Binging in its presence and withdrawals without. Prolonged usage, just like any other drug, with addictive potential. The addiction is not an illusion, and the withdrawal symptoms can be just as painful as eliminating nicotine or caffeine. But this perfectly explains the sugar addiction, which has been nicely gift-wrapped as a harmless sweetener for pastries, candies, pastas, bread, ice cream, and cavity-laden drinks. Hallelujah. And so we look at ketchups. We look at barbecue sauce. Shit, we look at energy drinks, right? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. All these things that they prepackage for us make it look nice. They make the packaging look all shiny and clean and clear, and it glows and sparkles at you. These are the things that grabs you. These are the things that get us, right? And so keep in mind what I'm talking about, right? Is it the things that we're eating? Is it possible that we can be these chemicals, right, of today, that they can be desensitizing us, right? And actually keeping us away from the Father and discerning. And then also, can it be that they are vaccinating us through the foods, through the chemicals that are in these foods, right? And we think, and here we are, we're getting a quick meal. We're getting a quick, you know, something to eat, a bite to eat, you know what I mean? Quenching some hunger pains or whatever the case is. But it's laced with all types of things, all types of chemicals and unseen things, unheard of things, things we don't have no clue of, right? One more thing I'm going to read here, not to bore you too much with all this here type of stuff, but here it is. I'm going to read you know what, I'll just read this and then I'll go to the different things that are inside the food. All right. So you want to know some of the things, whether you can tell whether or not you're an emotional eater or if you're just physically hungry. If you're emotionally hungry or physically hungry. Emotional hunger comes on suddenly. Physical hunger comes on gradually. Emotional hunger feels like it needs to be satisfied instantly. Physical hunger can wait. Emotional hunger craves specific comfort foods. Physical hunger is open to options. Lots of things. Sounds good. Emotional hunger isn't satisfied with a full stomach. Physical hunger stops when you're full. Emotional eating triggers feelings of guilt, powerlessness, and shame. Eating to satisfy physical hunger doesn't make you feel bad about yourself. All right, so those are some things just to think about. All right, I'm going to just go over a few of these here, all right? Some of the toxins that are in food and ingredients and artificial additives to avoid, all right, by all means. Hallelujah. So there have been many great advances in food preparation in the last century. These days, well over half of the foods that we can buy in a typical supermarket are prepackaged or prepared. They need either no or minimal preparation before being ready to eat. However, there is a dark side to this convenience. Most of the foods on our shelves also contain chemicals and additives that are known to harm either the human body or laboratory animals. If they harm animals, they can harm you too. Most of the ingredients that you should avoid fall into one of these areas. Food additives, artificial sweeteners, and artificial colors. More and more experts are agreeing that you are wise to try to avoid as many chemicals in your foods as possible by shopping in mostly the produce, dairy, and meat sections of your grocery store. You can avoid many of the harmful food additives listed below. However, all of us need to be on guard because some of these ingredients also are used in meats, dairy products, and even produce. What does this have to do with public health, or the health of our nation? I'm going to just talk about Israel. Determined by these things we consume, this ultimately adds massive cost to our health, whatever. We don't deal with all that. But anyway, I'll go into the additives to avoid. And number one, sodium nitrate. This is added to processed meats to stop bacterial growth linked to cancer in humans. Sulfates used to keep prepared foods fresh. They can cause breathing difficulties in those sensitive to the ingredient. I'm going to try my best to pronounce this. Azadine combining. This is used in bagels and buns and can cause asthma. Potassium bromide added to breads to increase volume linked to cancer in humans. What else we got? Praline glycol, better known as antifreeze. It thickens dairy products and salad dressings, deemed generally safe by FDA. Butane. Butane It is put in chicken nuggets to keep them tasting fresh. A known carcinogen. Monosodium glutamate, which is commonly referred to MSG, it is flavor enhancer that can cause headaches, linked in animal studies to nerve damage, heart problems, and seizures. Those are just a few of the things, right? And, I mean, the list, it goes on and on. Refined vegetable oil, sodium bentonate, certain types of vegetable oils, and it goes on and on and on, right? And then it goes on, and it tells you, even one of them is aluminum, a preservative in some packaged foods that can cause cancer. So it's so many different things, and we got to just be careful, be mindful of what we're putting in our bodies, remembering what? That our bodies are the temple of Yah, right? And so those are some of the things I wanted to go over, but I'm going to switch from there, and we're going to go and just continue on. Just wanted to read a few of those things, and you see how serious it is. So, yes, by all means, especially us, Israel, what did the nations, they knew that if they kept us bound, right, you know, and that they kept us in the state to where we cursed ourselves, right, keep ourselves in a bad state. I think it's no different than now in the time that we're in, because, you know, we like certain, some of the same things and some of the same delicacies that the people of the world do. And see, I don't know what it is, and I read that about sugar for a reason, because I know a lot of saints really, really enjoy sweets, right? And it's just a thing, man. But anything done, too much of it is just not good. And we're taught to do things in moderation, and not to overindulge and not to go overboard. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. All right, let's see here. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust." Consider what Job said, right? It says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So he esteemed the word of Yah more than his natural bread, more than that in which he put in his mouth and then goes into his belly. How many times we are admonished over the years that should be our lot as well, right? That we should crave more of the word, craving more. What was it? All right, I'm going to go to Numbers here. Numbers chapter 11, start at verse 4. Just reflecting, right, on our ancients. One of the reasons, too, that we need to be mindful of the wilderness experiences, because, look, you know, we're going back into the wilderness. And we need to be very mindful of some of the behaviors, some of the attitudes, mannerisms, and things of our ancients. A lot of it is not far from us in this day and hour, because we too have a lot of luxuries and a lot of extras and a lot of things at our fingertips, and it could be snatched away at the drop of a dime, right? How are we going to react? How are we going to do things? I think, what was it, pastor asking us that, right? That how many of us are ready for the wilderness, wilderness experience? So how many of us are really ready? But Numbers here, Numbers 11, starting at verse 4, and it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortars, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it of fresh oil. So, you know, when I was thinking about this, you know, the Father knows, right? He already knows what we need, right, to sustain us. And you see in this passage, you know, the mixed multitude, they begin to lust, and then Israel, them as well, and then they begin to go a little bit further with it. And, you know, reminiscing on all of the delicacies and all the tasty things that they had available to them. And in one passage of Scripture, it talked about how this stuff was, you know, it was there. They had so much of it, you know what I mean? So much of this meat, and so much of these different things that it was just so readily available to them. And they were just so used to it. Think about us in this day and hour here now. We can go to the supermarket, get anything, pretty much anything we want. And that's drying up a little bit now, because as we're seeing things are becoming scarce, it's not so plentiful. The shelves are not stocked with all of the items that we used to getting, buying and purchasing. But anyway, same thing with us today. We survive off of bread, the bread of heaven. You know, y'all knew exactly what he was doing. And it said, too, also that y'all was doing this for a reason. He wanted to prove them. He wanted to show them what was in their hearts. He wanted them to see. You can't do that when a people is full, when a people is so full of themselves, right, full of food and their bellies are full. It's a common thing, and it's known that we're more haughty, we're more puffed up when our bellies are full, right? Give us a few days without food and see how humble we become. And that's essentially what the Most High was trying to do with Israel, right? What we need to do also is make it a habit of humbling ourselves, right? And not every time our bellies are grumble or our stomachs grumble, that we got to fill it with something and that our mind be consumed with what we're going to eat, what we're going to put in our – isn't life more to us than what we're going to put in our mouths, than the clothes that we're going to put on our backs, right? Didn't y'all say he would take care of all of that? And there we go again. It's us. It's all about us and about what we can do. And we don't need Yah. We don't need him. But, yeah, he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what will sustain us. And he just knows, right? As it says here, and let's see. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is Yahweh? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of Yahweh in vain. Right? So the supplication here is just is asking for just enough, right? Why that can't be our prayer, right? Our prayer shouldn't be, I want over and access and over and more and above. All that does anyway for us, it makes us more ungrateful, you know. And it says here, if I have too much, I'm not going to even acknowledge you, Yah. Is that another issue that we have? Is that we have too much that we can't even acknowledge Yah? That we think that we put our trust in the things that we have? And that's the reason I'm saying, when all the reminders that we got to never forget, right? Don't forget. Don't let it into your mind. When you have all of these things, when you are given certain things and certain things are being provided for you, don't forget where you get it from. Don't think that it comes from you. Don't think that by your power or your might that you got anything or that you're able to do anything. Even the fact that you're able to wake up in the morning, even the fact that you're able, you know what I mean, to walk around, that you're clothed in your right frame of mind, right? It's not because of nothing that we could have ever done. We don't wake ourselves up. Deuteronomy 6:18, and it says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, and that he might prove you to do you good at the latter end. So it was all about an expectation about the latter end, so that you would profit then. But he first had to show our people, right? First had to show them. He had to first humble them because they were too puffed up. They were too full of this world, too full of this life. So he had to break them down so they can, or the attempt was to break them down so that they can see. But we all know the story. We all know how our people are, and such are some of us. We need to be humbled more often because we are haughty in spirit. Why? Because we are so full of the delicacies of this present life. Not only are we haughty, but in some cases borderline crazy because of the chemicals in the foods, right? So I was just thinking about a few people, right? And I reflected on Enoch. I reflected on Judith in the Apocrypha. So Enoch, while I didn't say that he fasts quite often, kind of figured that that's what was going on when he would separate himself from the people for so many days at a time, and then he would appear before them and teach them. Well, you're not going to get that type of revelation. You're not going to get that type of wisdom and knowledge, right, unless you are setting yourself apart. And if we look at Judith, right, and Judith in the Apocrypha, and what she did, Judith 8:6, and it said, and she fasted all the days of her widowhood, save the eves of the Sabbaths and the Sabbath, and the eves of the new moons and the new moons and the feast and the solemn days of the house of Israel. So that's a lot of fasting, right? That's a lot of sacrificing going on here, right? That's a lot. That's some serious dedication, devotion. And you know, and somebody in that case has to be in tune, right? That mind, right, is completely in tune with the Father and with the things that are going on. Let me read real quick. There we go. If you do not pray and fast in your lifetime, it will be a block to the hand of Yah, because this means you are not setting yourself aside before Yah to let him enrich you and bring you back into the place of fellowship where he is your priority. A time of prayer and fasting is not for the purpose of getting something from Yah. You pray and fast to meet Yah in fellowship. This kind of fasting is not just the giving up of food as a sacrifice for so many days. This fast is for you to set aside everything, including eating, so as to have a period of time where you are completely alone with Yah and his word. It is setting yourself aside before Yah to give him the opportunity to enrich you and bring you into his place of fellowship where he is your priority. Right? Truth. So fasting, it is the key to obtaining the power of Yah. Every good thing and every good great accomplishment in the Most High Yah is by watching, not with the natural eye, but by the spiritual eyes, which is accomplished through prayer, which gives us the strength to go forward. Right? And so, you know, I was thinking about this, and this is me, just an opinion of mine and an observation. So, you know, on Shabbat, you know, that's a day that we do the least amount of work. That's the day that we physically exert the least amount of energy. Other than prayer, I mean, other than praise, you know, pretty much, you know, we're not really doing too much physical activity on that day. And so I was just thinking about it, and it's just been me observing this just within myself. On that day, it's not like I need a lot of food on that day, generally speaking. Now, if I decide to either eat seconds or eat, you know, some dessert or whatever the case is, then that's, you know, totally me doing that. But I noticed that the body can, my body in particular, I don't need to have that much. I can go off a little bit. And one of the things I came to the conclusion of is that because we are fed so much spiritually on Shabbat, that we don't even need that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the only way I can equate that. I mean, you go through a normal day, regular day outside the Shabbat, with not so much physical activity compared to, you know, similar to that of the Shabbat, if there were, you know, then you're going to be starving. You're going to be hungry, no doubt about it. But that's just me. I've noticed that, right? And I'm not saying, you know, that's no gospel truth or anything like that. That's just me saying that I've observed that in myself, right? So anyway, Book of Sirach, Sirach 31, 19, it says, a very little is sufficient for a man well nurtured, and he fetcheth not his wind short upon his bed. Sound sleep cometh of moderate eating. He riseth early, and his wits are with him. His mind is with him, right? He's clothed in his right frame of mind, right? That's because he had sound sleep. His body is not working overtime to try to break down any food in there or whatever. He's clear, he's crisp when he get up. But the pain of watching and color and pains of the belly, they are with an insatiable man. So a man that is not satisfied, a man that is just eating just to eat, doesn't stop when he's satisfied. He continues to go on and on, or emotional eating, or whatever the case is. He is not satisfied. He has pains, and he has all of these other complications and problems. And it doesn't afford him sound sleep. It doesn't afford him waking up crisp. And that could be another reason, too, why we don't wake up. And the first thing on our mind is the Father. Just because we got all this other stuff going on, all this other junk. You know, another thing I observed about my own self. So in the mornings, as I'm preparing to go ready for work and everything, after devotion and everything, I take my supplements. And on my way out, I do, and I know it's not smart to do, this is not wise, but I do it because I want to stay in that moment. I want to stay in that mode of meditation. So what I may do is just put on my audio book, or I may pray some more as I'm writing, or I may, you know, put on the message and listen to it. I notice how much in tuned I am before I put any piece of food, a morsel of food in my mouth. And my thoughts are very, very clear. I can really focus on things. I can stay concentrated on the message, and my mind is not deviating, although, you know, distracted. I can stay with certain points. I can hear better what's going on. And then after that, after I can't go anymore, because shit, you take a lot of supplements, you already know what goes on, right? So then I'll drink a smoothie or something just to ease into something, and then probably eat something like fruit or something, whatever I eat, whatever. But I notice how it is. It's totally different at that point, you know, once I've eaten, ate something. But before that, it's so clear, so focused my mind is. And then afterwards, you know how it is, then go on with the rest of the day. But that's not to say to forget y'all and all of that, but it's just something that I observed in myself, right? Hallelujah. You cannot serve Yah if you are given over to your appetite. Hallelujah. As I read earlier, crave the word more than our natural bread. So let me do one thing. Let me try to go here to a break, and then I'll come back. Because I know I've been talking for a minute now. Let me see if I can get up here. Ministry break.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. SAYETTE. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled StraightWay.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. King is coming, King is coming. Glory to the King. Let me get a radio check, mic check in-house, see how we're coming along here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the King. Well, bless you all, saints. Here again, Elder Donnie here. Just wanted to just come back and pretty much just wrap it up. I mean, so pretty much get the gist of it all. I mean, and the whole point of it is, you know, number one, not forget Yah and anything that we're doing, right? And also, can the foods and the things that we consume, like in the natural, can be affecting us spiritually? Excuse me, and it's a real serious, viable question, right? So a lot of us are abstaining from the vaccine, don't believe in it. And but what if they come in another direction through the different things that we consume? So glory to the King. We want to make sure that we are watching, we are being sober, and that's in every aspect of our lives, right? Knowing that we are the temple of Yah, and we have to protect these temples, who temples we are. And not defiling it, glory to the King. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'm going to read just a few more things here, and then that'll be it. I had a section in here where I was going to I'll do that at another time, but just a recap from Shabbat. I wanted to say the Rufus, that was a good message, very, very encouraging, uplifting message, and very edifying message on yesterday on Shabbat. And all praise to Yah for that, which our souls so badly need. We need the word. We can't really survive without it. And we thank Yah for blessing us and providing for us. Well, one of the things I mentioned about offenses, and I had a small portion here about that, but he covered it so well yesterday. And you can't go wrong. Going from the book, because I didn't have brethren ask me that. And it seems like it's not a situation that they don't know the word, but it's just the fact of their tolerance level, right? And so I'm glad Elder put it the way he did and elaborated on it in such a way. We just got to follow the book, and there's that. There's no other secret remedy to it. I know a lot of us want to cut people off if they feel like they trespass against us too many times. And so I'm glad he brought it out the way he did, and awesome. But when I'll just read this one thing here, this verse, Galatians. No, that's not Galatians. Where is it? Let's see. It's in Acts chapter 24:16, and it says, "Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience. This is Apostle Paul here. To always have a conscience void of offense toward Yah and toward man. So he make a conscious effort to work it out, right? To always have a conscience void of offense, right? Toward Yah and toward men. Hallelujah. Because at the end of the day, the war is on you if you're offended. So he's making a conscious effort and exercising his senses and his whole being to not be offended. Hallelujah. And it's just key that he said that too, toward Yah and toward man. Like, we often see man, you know, but we are never taking into consideration that we could be offended with Yah. Hallelujah. We've got to be very careful. Anyway, so bless the Most High Yah. And I'm going to go ahead and conclude these things. I'm going to read a couple more things, and that'll be it. In this book, The Perils of Passivity, it talks about, it says, our enemy is threefold, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must take a definite stand against each. In fact, there is a close connection between the three. When we yield to fleshly lust or cater to the cadence of the world, we give place to the devil. We cannot afford to let our guard down and become passive towards any of these foes. We must say with Paul, but far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Know ye not that you are the temple of Yah, and that the Spirit of Yah dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yah. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the master knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is in Yah. Hallelujah. So all glory be to Yah. Hallelujah. As I started off saying that, hallelujah, we can do nothing. And I want to declare here this day that I am a child of the King, hallelujah, and that there is no other mighty one but our Yah, hallelujah. So, saints, pray that y'all have a great week. Be encouraged in the Most High Yah. Definitely take a good look at these things, right, saints? And if any of this stuff pertaineth unto you, then repent and turn from your wicked ways. Seek deliverance. Seek comfort in Yah. Be more mindful of the things that we're putting in our bodies, the things that we put giving to our children, the things that we're consuming, the things we put before our eyes and ears, all of these things. All these things do nothing to edify us and bring us closer to the Father. They don't produce or give us a willingness to produce a desire and a passion to serve our Yah. And I know quite well, saints, when I come on here and I talk to y'all, that I'm speaking to myself first. Hallelujah. And so I'm not sitting here laying down a hammer upon you. Now I'm talking to you from things personally, right? The things that I've observed of my own self. So Hallelujah. We have the victory at the end of the day. We will be free. All praise and all honor be to our Most High Yah and Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Our Savior, our redemption, and our Savior. Without him, we can do nothing. So y'all be encouraged, saints of the Most High Yah. Keep one another. Pray for one another. Keep us lifted. And glory to the King. Be support and help unto one another. Hallelujah. Bless you all, saints. This is Elder Donnie here signing off for this edition of the Brothers segment on Straight with Truth, hosted on Block Talk Radio on this day. Bless y'all. Shalom, shalom.